Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I want to talk to you today about the deep things of God. Psalm 42 and 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. One of the first things you'll notice is that when you get into the deep, there's a noise. There isn't just a silence or superficial Christianity. There isn't just something that mutes the testimony or causes someone to casually observe it from a distance. No, when you get into the deep things of God, there's a noise and there's waves and there's billows, and it overwhelms, it exceeds the expectations of men. It rises above human reasoning. There is no human measurement that can truly calculate it. And my friend, the depth of sorrow reaches for the depth of the supernatural. If it's only pain, the waters are drowning. But if by chance God intervenes, then the waters become something of power, something of deliverance, something to transfer in the flow from the past horrors to future glories. Shallow Christianity never gets there. Knee-deep religion cannot satisfy this need for the deep. Where did Peter find the catch when Jesus directed him on his boat? In the deep. Deep consecration, deep experiences of the supernatural, deep places of the heart and soul that worldliness can never reach, never touch, never contaminate. The Red Sea was a deep place of trouble for the children of Israel, but God in Exodus 14 used that depth to drown the adversaries. If you're afraid of the depths of faith, then shallow comfort in your life won't eliminate the enemy. The devil is not afraid of half-hearted trickles. He doesn't get spooked by misty tears that go nowhere. A little sprinkle of Pentecost does not intimidate the darkness. But when the rain pours, and when the soul is sold out, and when the vision is unstoppable, when the flow is religiously unmanageable, the devil can't handle a Holy Ghost flood. It takes depth to kill devils. Genesis 1 and 2 describes the earth being without form and void, and darkness being upon the face of the deep. The deep was ruled by the darkness, and then the Spirit of God began to move. You see, there is a depth of the world and the depth of the Word. There is a depth of light and a depth of darkness. There is a depth of pain and a depth of power. We have to bring these two parallels together by the presence of God. They either become contentious things that we cannot overcome. They are too mysterious. They become something too distant to imagine or attainable. People begin to feel like if it's not within reach, why even try? But when the Spirit of God begins to move, that makes the difference. Because the next verse in Genesis is going to give us the Word. It's going to give us light. It's going to give us revelation. So don't worry about what controls the depth right now. When it is taken over by the Spirit, it becomes the depths of the supernatural. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. It is out of this context in Genesis 2 that God is going to create a woman to be the helpmeet for the man. But it comes in the deep sleep, in that very subterranean place of the subconscious mind. God has in essence given Adam a certain divine anesthesia, and when he awakes, there is his bride. What will you awaken to when you come out of the deep sleep of surgery? What revelations of the church will be seen and become visible? What things about the bride of Christ in this world will become more understandable, more perceptive, more discerning, things that we were blind to. But as we were in a place of rest, God was working. Psalm 135:6 says, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places." God is in charge, no matter how many things have chastised your spirit, no matter how many times you feel like things have been chosen against you rather than for you. If you are a part of that chosen generation, friend, then there is nothing that happens demonically random to you. There is nothing that happens spiritually accidentally for you, but there is a development in you, and it's pleasing to the Lord. If God is in control of the things that are far above, if God is in control of the things that are all around us, and if God is in control of all the things that are beneath us, then God can control the things that trouble us, the things that we feel have lingered a little too long in our lives. But God knows what they're going to become in the recipe of our calling. God knows how they are customized to each and every one of us, because we are not just treated as a blind collective, but we are treated with personal touch and with individuality. God comes to each and every one of us, and the Word of God is His template. All the deep places, it said, that is literal and figurative, in terms of the sea and in terms of the soul. God walks upon the waters of the hurricane. He rises above the waves of destruction and calms the tempest of 1,000 raging seas. The earth rotates because He makes it so. The stars twinkle in an endless expanse of space because He makes it so. And He does what He pleases in the deep places. That's every kind of deep place. From the abyss of the sea to the gaping injuries of the heart, the deep wounds become deep worship because that pleases the Lord. We understand that there is the depth of the trial, those places that seem to be an abyss of sorrow, that seem to continue to dig down and down until we would seemingly reach the core of the earth, because we feel under it. We feel buried in it. We feel covered up and overwhelmed by the circumstances and by the setbacks that we are facing or going through or enduring, and wondering if we have the durability of faith to make it. But I tell you today that the depth of the trial is matched in the end by those things that God brings in the depth of testimony. We are overcomers by the testimony of His Word and how His Word has transformed us, how His Word has transferred us from the places of the wilderness and entrapment and desert emotions to sit at the Father's table, to feast on the grace and mercies of the Lord, to enjoy the festivities of angelic visitation and the supernatural touches of the Almighty God. And this is probably why in Psalm 69:2 that the psalmist is crying out to God, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." And somebody may feel that way today when it comes to grief, when it comes to sadness, when it comes to something that you have just recently been through, a tragic loss. Somebody very close to you has passed, and you've tried to hold on to a prayer, and you fasted and you sought God, and for a few injurious moments you may feel like God doesn't listen or answer your prayer. But there is a great mystery to the things that God does for us and to the prayers that He answers. And sometimes the answer is no, but it's for a greater reason, because His ways are higher than our ways. And so we get into this mire and we feel like we're in a place where there is no standing, and every moment is just sinking further and further into the depression and further into the sucking mud of miseries and of emotions that we can't seem to control. And yet He continues to pray until you get to verse 14. "Deliver me out of the mire," He says, "and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters." So we now see from this psalmist that some of the mire that he is in is the sucking clay of broken relationships. There is a hatred. There are things adversarial going on. It's out of our control, and it seems chaotic, and it's cutting to the depth of who we are in our character and who we are in our desires and our ambitions. And yet there is still, even in this prayer, there is a sense of hope that the rock Christ Jesus, that the stable, mighty God is going to come through. Because the psalmist went on to pray, let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. So David is understanding there's a depth to the presence of God. There's a depth to living in the commandments of God, but there's also a depth to pain. There's a depth to being misrepresented and falsely accused. There's a depth to having gossip of those that hate the things of God work against you. But those things and the deep waters of trial, again, will become part of the depth of our testimony. I have seen it through the years. I have watched families endure the depths of grief and the waves of emotion and the tidal waves of despair that would come because of such tragic losses. And yet I've watched them stand in the altars of God and lift their hands. I've watched them grow spiritually to heights and to mountainous places and to places of true spiritual success and testimony to a world that is suffering like them, but they stand beneath the limbs of an old rugged cross and under the shadow of the Almighty God, and they find their comfort, and they find that their deep wounds have been turned into places and sacred places and regions and environments of prayer and worship and deep devotion to God. And in Psalm 80, we see where the Lord is talking about Israel through his word. When he said, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. You see, friend, all the suffering comes to a place where it grows an orchard of testimony and fruitfulness in the kingdom of God, a harvest of souls. Because when they hear your testimony and they hear how God has done miraculous things for you, healed your body, lifted your spirit, encouraged you when all the things of the world did nothing but break you down and leave you for dead on the trash heaps of uselessness and rejection, and yet now redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you've been transplanted into the kingdom of God. You've been taken out of the soil of suffering, and you've been deeply rooted in revival and redemption and hope and in strength, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And notice how when he planted it, it took deep root. And when it took deep root, it filled the land. If it doesn't have any depth, it's not going to take new territory. Christianity without prayer and Christianity without fasting and Christianity without holiness is shallow, and it doesn't have the deep root necessarily to take regions and revival from the kingdom of darkness. I'm talking to somebody right now that if you'll make a stand for truth, no matter how you suffer, no matter who speaks negatively or pessimistically or maliciously against you, God will bring kindness in the end. God, through his gentleness, God, through this hour of your setback and suffering, is going to allow your character to take deep root, and it's going to be fruitful and prosperous, and your leaf will not wither. And whatsoever you do because of your meditation on the Word of God and because of the manifestation of good works in your life, that's going to bring prosperity. God's going to give validity to your testimony, and somebody's going to be pulled out of the pit because of what you do for the kingdom of God. And I know sometimes we can think that the proverbial going through the valley is what the world is doing against us, or the demon armies are encroaching upon us, that it's a place designed by Satan and Lucifer's imps and all the things that are negative about it, all the things that are destructive and full of death and graveyards and cemeteries. And that can get into our thinking. But here's a scripture that brings encouragement to this. Psalm 95 and 4 said, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Now think about that. Every valley, every vale, every low place, every depression in the earth, every chasm, every canyon, every place that sinks down, every bog, every mire. These things are not ruled by the darkness, friend. They're in His hand. God holds it. And so if it's in His hand and He is a God that cares about me, then these are things, again, that are not going to destroy but develop us. And in this place of purity, in this hour of prophecy, in this time of the fulfillment of the promises of God in our life, you need to understand that no matter how far it goes down and how cold and frigid the depths and invisible and mysterious it may be, God sees it clearly. God's lens is not clouded. He sees things that we cannot see. And at times, He gives us the discernment to see it. But even when we don't see it, those are the times that we trust Him to know that deep is calling unto deep and that we are searching the deep things in God. And then oftentimes, it's through the fellowship of suffering that we get breakthrough revelations of the next dimension in the power of His resurrection. And the scripture goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. First of all, think about where you are and the strategy of darkness to defeat you. And yet, these are things that have not been strategically put together by the devil. He may think so, but they've actually been prepared of God. Every ingredient, every setback, every trial, every moment, every tragedy, every trauma, every night of restlessness, every sleepless hour, every moan and uttering things in the spirit that can't be understood. These are things that are a part of what God is putting together, what God is piecing together. And it goes on to say in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I want to encourage somebody today that maybe the reason why you've misunderstood the Lord is that you're trying to understand it through the spirit of man. You are seeing it right now through the lens of suffering. And for you right now, it has distorted your perspective of what God is really trying to do in your life, because the perceptions are coming through the filter of human reasoning, and you can't really know the purposes of God. You can know the pain, and then you can misinterpret the pain, and then you can be discouraged because of the pain, and then maybe be neutralized or walk away from the truth because of that pain, because you're trying to understand it with the spirit of man. But to search out the deep things of God, you need to go in the submarine of the spirit, if you will. It's a spiritual vehicle that can go to the abyss, to the deepest places. It can plumb areas that man can never find. The investigative heart of the seeker goes by way of holiness. It's a spiritual exploration. It is a discerning journey, but we need the eyes of the Spirit, and we can't have that if we're bound by the bitterness of flesh. And if there is anything that Jesus taught us in the Gospels, it was that a wise man doesn't just look at the shallow opportunities. He doesn't look at the sandy beach or the dry creek beds in the summertime when things can easily be falsely perceived. But he digs deep, is what Jesus said in Luke. The man that is wise digs deep. That means he has to go down to find that foundation. That's a fundamental truth. To understand the deep things of God, you don't find the foundations of truth at the surface, in superficial feelings, in half-hearted commitments, in a place where there is no altar, where there's no consecration, where there are no sacred things of God anymore, where everything is just blended together and the precious things and truths of God are treated with profanity. And it just seems like all of this is just one worldly blend, and it's a witchcraft brew because it doesn't work. It's trying to get there with the spirit of man, and you're not going to be able to accomplish it. See, people in this hour, They want to have the precious things of God without principles or living the principles. They have pulpits without altars. That's not deep calling unto deep, but shallow toleration of the shallow. They have whispers in the dark and hypocrisies of the night and gossip lectures against the sacred. But that's not deep calling unto deep. It's shallow tolerating the shallow. They have clouds without water in their prophecies and works that are twice dead plucked up by the roots. And how are you going to have any amount of flow if there's no rain from clouds without water? That's not deep calling unto deep, but shallow approving the shallow. I've used this analogy before, but you've been in a situation where you've maybe parked in an underground garage and you've gone 3 or 4 levels underground, and you get out and you're walking in those concrete areas and you're in those deep regions and cell service is not really easy to find. And you try to call somebody on your cell phone and you don't have any service because you're in the subterranean places where there's no easy access to cell towers, and now you're frustrated, and this would be a good time for one of those good old-fashioned landlines. Well, it's the same way in the spirit. Sometimes when you're searching the deep things of God and you're in those regions of revival and getting deep in a spirit of prayer, you can't go by the spirit of man because the perceptions are not reachable and there's no access to true spiritual understanding. It's like a good old-fashioned landline, just a good old-fashioned altar, because altars work wherever you are, in the highest of places to the lowest of places. And your communication with God is never broken when you have an altar. Habakkuk 3:10 says, "The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high." These are underground waters of the abyss, the deep, that were personified as speaking, as roaring, as giving voice, the secrets of the supernatural being shared in the deep places, because the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Now think about this. The 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami that happened on December the 26th, it had its epicenter just off the west coast of northern Sumatra, Indonesia. It was what they called an undersea megathrust earthquake that registered a magnitude of 9.1 to 9.3 on the Richter scale. The earthquake was actually caused by a rupture along the fault between the Burma plate and the Indian plate. Now, it cost 227 people their lives from 14 different countries. It caused untold billions of dollars in damage, and it brought the world together with rescue and refugee efforts. But this is what I want you to see. We know about the walls of water, the tsunami that came in, and how massive it was, and it was visible to the eyes. But the earthquake that took place that caused that tsunami was invisible to the eye. In fact, it took place, according to researchers, 19 miles below the main sea level. That's 19 miles, ladies and gentlemen. That earthquake took place so far in the deep, but it created a destructive tsunami. If the Church of the Living God in this hour would turn that around in a positive sense, and we were to have a deep move of God, a shaking of revival in the earth, then the apostolic tsunami of revival and the waves of the Holy Ghost that would sweep over the countries would be unmatched and incomparable to any time in history. Now, they say that that earthquake that hit in the Indian Ocean was the third largest of its kind in history. What about the apostolic church? The Bible says the former and the latter house will come together. God is going to help us search the deep things of God and help us to have a tremendous, supernaturally empowered apostolic influence for this last day generation. I believe that. So continue, my friend, to search the deep things of God in Jesus' mighty name. I sing all that I do, no time to wait for that.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.